Hello. I just want to start off with a special thanks to Johan and Mikkel and all the sponsors for bringing me in today. I had a good time in Sweden so far, and here a couple more days, so really enjoy it. I want to thank everyone for giving me the opportunity to be here. The first session we're going to do today is a walkthrough of the Windows Application Server Enhancements, also known as Dublin. I want to start by getting an idea of how many people here understand what it means by the Windows Server Enhancements known as Dublin. Have you seen presentations before? Okay, so it looks like about half of you. What I'm going to present is very similar to what was presented at TechEd a couple weeks ago. By modeling what they presented at TechEd, I was able to actually get the bits from Microsoft. So I'm going to actually show you code that's about 3 weeks old for Dublin, which is a lot better than having to show the PDC bits, which were really old and outdated now. So with that, I've only had about 10 days to actually play around with the bits and get the demo set up. So everything should run fine, but there's a few quirky things that I did some workarounds for, so everything should be fine. So my name is Stephen Thomas. I'm an independent consultant, and I specialize in BizTalk Server and other connected systems technologies. I've been working with BizTalk for about 8 years now, and I've started to branch out into some workflow and WCF projects as well. And now I've taken a special interest in what Dublin has to offer and what the .NET 4 framework has to offer as well from a workflow services point of view. I'm a 5-year BizTalk Server MVP. Alan and I both got MVP together. I think it was like five and a half years ago now. And I run the BizTalk community site, biztalkgurus.com. So I want to start off with talking about what I've done in Sweden so far. My wife and I travel quite a bit, and whenever we go someplace new, we like to try the pizza there. So people tell me Sweden isn't really known for pizza, but we went out last night and got some Sweden pizza. So I found on the menu that they had pepperoni. So I was expecting, talked to the waiter, he spoke English. I said, I want cheese pizza with pepperoni. So I was expecting a pizza like this. This is what we have in America, and this would be a pepperoni pizza. What I got was something with this on it. So rather than pepperoni, I got Sweden pepperoni, which I guess is like banana peppers, or it may have actually been Italian on the menu. It looked like pepperoni, but it wasn't pepperoni. So I was able to pick it all off and ended up with cheese pizza. So, but all in all, the pizza experience here in Sweden is very positive. It's very good pizza. So you guys definitely are top of my list. And where to go? Okay. So I want to start off with going over the goals that we want to get out of this session. First and foremost, we want to find out the basics of Dublin, what it does, and how we can go about using that. Now, when I talked on Dublin at the SOA conference in January, I had a different approach to presenting this topic. What we're doing today is going to do a scenario walkthrough. We're going to take a company, which is called TT Travel, and see what they're doing today, and see how we can make their process better by using services, using workflow services, and hosting those in Dublin. Along with that, we're going to talk about some enterprise-ready capabilities. What I mean when we say that is reliability, availability, scalability, and how we can do basic routing. And these are all fall under enterprise-ready capabilities. And then, of course, to get a general overview of Dublin components. So first I want to start off by looking at the Windows application server. Now, we've been using Windows as an application server for a long time now, but we don't typically think of Windows Server as an application server like we would a Java application server. Even though we use Windows Server as an application server, I typically wouldn't, first of my mind, think of Windows. But we have it, it's here, and we've used it to run executables, we've used it to run COMPLUS and DCOM distributed applications, and we've been doing that for probably 10, 15 years now. It does that very well. So we start thinking about how Windows evolved as an application server. So first off, we added some development tools like Visual Studio, And we added some monitoring, like System Center, to give us insight as to what's going on with our application server. Next in our evolution came IaaS. We found out that we wanted to host ASP applications. We wanted to host, in later versions of Windows, we wanted to host web services. So we have IaaS, and we have WAS, and known as Windows Process Activation Service, which allows us to start up processes when messages arrive into our Windows box. So once we had ASP, then we came out with ASP.NET, which further evolved our application server into giving us more power. So now we have managed code that we could run ASP.NET applications. Once we had that, we came up with WCF and WF services. And now we came up with a managed programming model to allow us to write our distributed applications. But there was one thing we were missing in the whole scheme of things, is really a robust environment to run and host our workflow and WCF services. And this is where the Windows Application Server extensions, known as Dublin, really comes into play. So Dublin is going to give us that hosting environment, and it's going to give us administrative tools on top of .NET 4.0 framework to allow us to be able to gain insight and control into what's going on in our WF and WCF services. So Dublin is a natural evolution of IaaS and WAS, and it will sit in the Windows application server role. So if you've installed Windows 2008, you can assign separate roles, and that server belongs to that role. Dublin will come in the Windows application server role. And like I said, its purpose is to run and manage our WF and WCF services. We hope to have Dublin ship as close to Dev 10 as possible, and that's the latest that I've been hearing from TechEd. And as new things come out in Dublin, they'll be available as web downloads. Now, there's four core central themes that we want to think about when we think about Dublin. First and foremost, which if you've seen other Dublin presentations, is it just works. That's really a core focus that Microsoft is trying to push when they talk about Dublin. And I think what you'll see in our demos is that's really true. I mean, there's not a lot of configuration and setup that you really have to do. It's really, you deploy it and it works, and you have a lot of functionality. We also want to think about our monitoring and control. We want to think about our tooling and scripting, and that's tooling both through a UI and through PowerShell commands. So everything we see here, I'm more of a UI person. So everything we see here in the UI, you can do through PowerShell as well. And then, like I said on the last slide, our enterprise-ready extensions, which is for more advanced scenarios like routing and high availability. So this gives us a high-level overview of the Dublin software stack, which goes into more detail than the previous slide. You want to think of this whole slide as our Windows server box. So down here at the bottom, we have our IaaS and our WAS, which is kind of the foundation for entry into our Dublin process. All that, the cornerstone is the .NET framework, which would be .NET 4.0. And we want to think about what really makes up Dublin. And that's really our runtime services. And we think of three key things. We think of persistence, we think of hosting, and we think of monitoring. What makes all three of these things possible and allows us to scale is our runtime databases. And all that sits with WCF and workflow at the bottom there. So to manage all of this, we have our management APIs, which I talked about being PowerShell commandlets. And then we have our IaaS manager, which sits on top of our PowerShell to allow us to have a UI already built for us into all our PowerShell commands. Then over here on the right, of course, is our System Center, which gives us more insight into what's going on. So let's start talking about our scenario. Our scenario is TT Travel, which is a travel booking company. So currently today, when you want to book travel, you want to book a car, you want to book a hotel, a customer calls up a customer service representative, or CSR, and that CSR will make a call to a WCF service for car rental, and it'll make another call to a hotel booking service, get the results, and send an email to the customer. This is current process today. So what are some of the problems we have in this scenario? Well, first off is scale. If we run out of CSRs, people that call will get put into a queue, get put on hold, and have to wait for someone to come available for them to place an order or to book travel. And also visibility and control into this system. If the car rental booking service is down, the CSR simply can tell the customer, I'm sorry, I can't book your car today, but the customer won't really like that, and there's no real way for the CSR to say, you know, I'll write down your information, call you later, that's all error prone. So we have some issues with the way the process runs today. So what we want to look at is what's the first step we can do to make this process better. So first off, we're going to set up an ASP.NET front end that's going to front a WCF service that then makes a call to both of our other WCF services. So it's a simple web service aggregation pattern. So we're creating an ASP.NET front end that our CSR will use to enter customer information. And then we're created the new WCF service that makes the call to the car rental and hotel booking service. And then we're also going to have our WCF service send the email confirmation at the end. So let's go ahead and take a look at what this looks like. And we're also going to take a look at step two, which is replacing our WCF service with a WCF workflow service. My resolution switched back. I'm going to change it back to 1024 so it's easier to see. Okay, so first we're going to take a look at the solution that I've built to show here. First off, we have our car booking service. Then we have our hotel booking service. We have the simple WCF service. We have a series of workflow services that I've built. And then we have our ASP.NET portal. First, let's take a look at the pretty simple code we wrote for the WCF service call. All this does is encapsulate the two separate calls to our car service, to our hotel service, and then we send our notification at the end of this. So let's take a look at what that looks like. And going to book something for one day. And our CSR is making our request. And the CSR says registration complete. So our WCF service went out, made two separate calls, sent out the email, and returned that that was successful. We can come down here. Instead of sending an actual email, I just write it to disk. So we can actually see here that we do have results for both our car and hotel booking service, and that they were confirmed for one day each, just like I had requested. So this is all well and good until one of the back-end services happens to go down. So let's go ahead and disable one of the applications. I'm going to disable the billing app. And then let's see what happens when we try to make the CSR tries to make a request. I'm going to do it for 2 days. And you see we got an error. So in this case, our CSR was trying to book travel for a customer, was unable to. So now at this point, they would pick up the phone and call one of us in this room. They would say, our application's not working. We don't know why. We can't book travel. We're losing money. So we would take a look at this and say, I wonder how we can figure out what's going on. Well, since our WCF service is managed in Dublin, let's see what kind of tooling and support we have to look into that. So I'll open up IIS Manager here. And this is actually where our tooling and support for Dublin is centered. And up here at the top row, let me change our scope. So as I change my scope on the left side, it changes the scope at which I was to query into different services on the right. So we see we have four new components for Dublin. We have endpoints, we have a monitoring dashboard, we have persistence databases, and we have services. These will all, if I click on services, this will give me a view of all services running under this website on this server. So I want to take a look at my monitoring dashboard to see if I notice any problems in our submit request. So we're not running any workflows right now, so we wouldn't expect to see anything in our workflow instance branch or our workflow tracked events branch here. But we do see that we have WCF calls. So let's first take a look at the completed calls, because first we did a request and everything worked. Let's take a look at what that looks like. So here you see we have our book travel, which is our core service that we called. And then we see reserve hotel and reserve car, which were also called, and those all completed successfully. Let's go back and take a look at our failed event. We click on failed, and this will show us everything that has failed at our travel applications level. And we click on that, and we have a little bit of information in our overview pane here, but we don't have a whole lot of information to go on as to why this really failed. So we might be thinking, well, while this is good, we have good information on our WCF service, maybe there's a better way. So if I was to, I don't have a way to resume this instance, right? So there's no state associated with this particular WCF service. So what's a better way to accomplish that? So we thought about step two in our process, which is let's replace this WCF service with a workflow service. So let's take a look at what that'll look like. So it's a CSR booking service that the CSR will still use, but now we have a little more control on what happens in our process. So this is a simple workflow service. The very first thing it's going to do is receive a travel request. Once it receives our travel request, I echo back a generic response. Nothing happens with that. Then I do a persist. And if you see here, I do an explicit persist. So I actually drug a tool shape over, dropped it in there, and said, persist my state to the database at this point. So if anything happens after that, I can always come back to this persistence point and run back from that actual persistence point. This gives you a lot of control. So you have the flexibility to decide when you want to persist and when you don't want to persist. Now, there are some shapes that do force a persist. Obviously, if like you're doing a receive and you're waiting for a while for a message to come back, that is going to automatically do a persist for you at that point. But then I see here I have my confirm hotel, followed by another persist, my confirm car, followed by another persist, and then I'm going to send out my notification at the end. So let's take a look at what moving this into a workflow service is going to really buy us. I'm going to go back to my travel site, and I'm going to enter Stephen 02 this time for 2 days, and I'm going to submit my request. So at this point, it says travel request has been submitted. So from a CSR perspective, everything looks like it's successful and everything should work. But we know we've shut down our billing service, so something's not going to work right. So in real world, this might last for a couple hours, and eventually the customer would call back to the CSR and say, I never received my confirmation email, what's going on? Then eventually that CSR is going to call IT, say, what's going on? You guys got to look into this. So we would pull up our monitoring dashboard, and let's take a look and see if we can find out if there's a problem. So now that we've switched to workflow, and this is one of the nuances, it says suspended 2, it's really only 1 in there. We see that we do have suspended workflow instances. So let's drill down into that. Since we moved to a workflow, we know that we were expecting this to be in a workflow. And we see we have a CSR book travel here that has suspended. I can right-click on this, and I have some flexibility in what I want to do with this suspended instance. I have the ability to resume it by simply right-clicking Resume. or I could terminate it. If the customer service rep had already created another request for this customer, it may be very beneficial to terminate this one so we don't reprocess his information twice. In this case, let's take a look at tracked events. So tracked events gives me insight into what's going on in this workflow instance. And remember, this is just a basic workflow service that I created in about 20 minutes. I did absolutely nothing special. And you can see here, by using the workflow service, we have a lot more information about what's happening in our process than we did with our WCF service. So we can take a look in here, and we do see that we had an error. So since we know that our error was with our billing application not working, let's go fix that problem. I'm going to enable that application. And now we would expect that other CSR requests would work. So let's do a 3. Submit our request. And see if we get our confirmation email. And we do. So when I submitted the later request for 3, we were able to process that. But we still have our request back here for 2 that hasn't been processed yet. So since we're using workflow, we have the ability to resume this workflow. Let's go in there and do that. And it's just like nothing ever happened in the process, and we're able to reprocess that workflow instance. So I simply right-click, resume. Now this is going to resume that instance from the last persistence point. And that would be the persistence point right above where it made the call to the car service that was down. Sorry, I think I said billing service earlier. I meant car service. And this will take a moment. Okay, and that completed, and we see we have no more suspended instances. And let's check, and sure enough, we did get our email. So with very little effort, we've added a lot of flexibility and easier retryability to our process. So let's go back to our slides. Okay, so I already showed you the demo for step 2, which is our enhanced CSR consolidation using a workflow service. So what we did is we replaced the web service with a workflow service. And we had some benefits from that. So first off, as we saw, we shielded our CSR from errors that might happen in the process. We showed how we could maintain state when we had an exception in that workflow process. We also showed how Dublin has tooling and monitoring support to be able to diagnose and fix problems that may exist. And then we saw how we could resume that workflow, and everything just works like there was no problems that had occurred. But we still have some problems with this solution. Obviously, first is the customer has to call a CSR. So we still have human intervention where a person needs to get involved in this process. And next, we don't know if I'm actually entering in a valid email address. I could be entering in anything, as I obviously am, and it's not actually sending email. And someone could be missing their travel confirmations because of a bad email. So let's talk about an even better way to do it, which is a self-service portal. So now we're going to take a look at step 3. We're going to remove the CSR from our process. We're going to go and add an ASP.NET front-end portal, which will allow our customers to interact directly with us through this portal. And we're going to add some validation to our email address. This will ensure that the customers are entering in valid information. So first off, the customer is going to enter name, email, and the number of days they want to book travel. Then we're going to start off our workflow. Our workflow is going to send a confirmation number back to that user to their email address. And then that customer will be responsible for logging back into the site to enter in that confirmation email. You've probably done this before on other sites. When you sign up, you log in for a forum, they have to validate your email address and send you a confirmation link via email. Very similar concept. So what we're going to do is we're going to enhance our .NET 4 workflow service to now have support for our email validation. In doing so, we have to use some correlation to ensure that when we send our results back, they're getting back to the right running instance of our workflow. So over here on the right, we see that we're adding a send and receive followed by a persist. We're sending our email, and then we're going to wait to receive our validation. Then if our validation is received, then we're going to continue with the rest of our workflow, just like we did in our step two. And again, I threw up on here the four guiding themes, and the first and foremost is it just works. So Dublin is going to provide us insight into this to really understand what's going on. So let's take a look at our demo of our self-service portal. So first, let's run this and see how it's supposed to work. I'm going to call it my self-service portal. I'm going to enter in Stephen04 this time. Stephen04 for email, and let's do it for 4 days. I'm going to submit my request. Got to do an IIS reset. When I switch from one workflow to another, it has some issues. So small IIS reset, fix the problem. And we'll try a request again. And there we go. We're on our confirmation page. Let's come down here and check our email. And we see Stephen04 got an email. Let's open that up. And here we did get our confirmation email. Let's go ahead and plug this in. And now it says, thank you for your submitting your request. And we would expect to see our results email right here. And we can see that our results are booked and everything is working fine. So we're able to do this now without CSR intervention. So let's take a look. Let's go back again. And let's take a look at what's happening in our monitoring systems when we're submitting this request. I'm going to submit the request and get ready to enter my confirmation code, but I'm not going to enter it yet. Let's go into IIS Manager. Let's look at our, I'm going to narrow the scope to just our workflows. And let's look under our monitoring dashboard. And something else that's kind of neat is up here on the top right, it shows you your number of applications and number of services that you have at this scope level. So as you drill down, up and down inside of here, you'll see the different services that are installed on your system. And we see here that we have an idle workflow. So in this case, our workflow has actually been removed from memory, persisted into the database, and is waiting for our response to come back. Let's take a look at that. And we can come right in here, right click. We have the ability to suspend and terminate and abort this workflow if we wish. We're not going to do that. We're going to look at tracked events. And we can take a look at what's happened in this workflow so far. We have 10 events that have happened. Last is when it went idle. And if we look backwards, we see it's unloaded, it's persisted, and here's where it sent its message back. So sending the request, sending the email out. And now let's go ahead and finish the request. And we can run this query again. And we'll see that more events are happening now because we're going further on in that workflow. And one more, and we're completed. So let's go back there. I want to point out the query window. Just go under running. Nothing's running right now. But you see at the top here, we have our query summary. And this is telling us what queries. There's some pre-built ones here, telling us what queries we're looking at inside our monitoring database. Now, we can simply add new things on here. We can change the state to what we're looking for. We can add new items here, what machine, if we're in a server farm environment, what machine that might be running on. We have different pieces of information we can get from this query window. But what happens now if we're running, we go idle, and then the server we're running on happens to go down? Well, let's take a look at some of the enterprise services that are available for us to help us support that. So the Enterprise Ready extensions, as Microsoft likes to call them, provides us availability and scale, which allows multiple hosts to share a single persistent store. We have Instance Resume, which I was trying to show on here, but a little quirk, so I wasn't able to show instance resume. We have durable timers, which in .NET 3.5, how many people have worked with .NET 3.5? What about workflow in .NET 3.5? Few people. So I myself haven't done much with .NET 3.5 workflow, but there's a durable timer in there that's been totally rewritten for 4.0. And there was a routing service in 3.5, which again has been dramatically changed and improved to support the .NET 4.0 framework. And we'll take a look at how we can use that routing service as well. So first off, availability and scale. So everything running on my local box works just fine. But in a real environment, I would probably have my SQL in a shared SQL server farm, high availability, something to that effect. So that would be my persistence database and my monitoring database. So in this picture, I have my single server pointing to my two cluster databases. Now, I can make this highly available by adding my second server to the farm, a second Dublin box, and adding a network load balancer in front of that. Then when I submit a request, so my customer is submitting a travel request, that could get routed to box one. And then that information is persisted and locked in our persistence database. Now, when that confirmation comes back, number four, that might very well be routed to our second server. Well, that's going to try to access it in the persistence database, but it's going to be locked. So there's a timeout period associated with locked instances in our persistence database. And when that timeout is expired, any other available Dublin box would be able to process those instances. And we have retryability on our Dublin boxes, so it'll sit there and keep trying to get access to the instances in the persistence database. So in this case, in point six, the lockers came off, and the workflow service is being rehydrated on our second Dublin box. And everything is just going to work hunky-dory, because now that workflow can complete on that second box. So we also talked about having admin tooling and scripting. So what happens if we had like 100 failed workflow instances that now we want to resume? Would we log on to one box, resume them, and all 100 instances run on one box? Well, all our PowerShell commands operate directly against our persistence database. So our persistence database will flag all the workflows as needed to be reran. And then each of our Dublin boxes has a workflow management service, which runs on there, and queries our persistence database for work that it needs to do. In this case, it would find our workflows and start executing them. So we didn't get a chance to show it, but we kind of talked about instance resume. So in this case, our message comes in. We start an activity, and we hit a persistence point. When we hit the persistence point, state is saved to our persistence database. And now what happens when our workflow dies? Say someone kills our IIS process, and any state of that workflow past that persistence point is going to be lost, gone. But now our workflow management service is monitoring our persistence database. We'll find that it has a workflow that needs to be reran and restarted. It will do so and pick it up from its last persistence point. And it just finishes and works with nothing that we have to do. We also talked about a durable timer. The durable timer is very similar to the instance restart in the way it works. So when a delay shape in point one is encountered, it's going to write a message to our SQL persistence database. That's point two. And our workflow management service, always querying our SQL persistence database, will identify when that timer needs to activate and rehydrate our workflow based on that timer event. And step four in our process, in one of our enterprise tasks, is routing. So how can routing help in our current TT travel scenario? Well, when the customer uses the front end, we might decide that if you're booking for more than 7 days, we want to have a different workflow that your process goes through. We might want to have direct CSR intervention to call you, make sure everything's fine, you're happy with your car selection, etc. So we can use the routing service in .NET 4.0 and actually build content-based routing based on data inside our inbound WCF service message. And currently, there's no tooling to support this, so you have to kind of build your own .XML file. I didn't have time to get that into our demo, but some of those details are still being worked out. But right now, that would give us the ability, in our scenario, to route to different workflows and then have different workflows do different things based on how many days we're registering for. So in summary, it's in an XML file that gets loaded into, I believe it's the persistence database. So in summary, we talked about how Dublin is an extension to our IIS process and the application server role in Windows. And we have a couple of guiding principles. First and foremost, it just works. I did very little setup to actually get monitoring and management to work. I hope we show that it's simple and powerful, and that this can be used for workflow and WCF services, and we will get benefit for that.